Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again as we continue our journey through this Holy Lenten season. I hope it's going well for you folks. I hope that you're sensing already that you are drawing closer to the Lord as you make your way through this Lenten season. You know, really, all seasons are a good season for drawing closer to the Lord, but there's just something about the season of Lent, and Holy Mother Church has given us this season in order to draw closer to the Lord in particular ways. It is a time of scarcity, of fasting, of abstinence, and of really focusing in many ways in on our relationship with Jesus in ways that perhaps we're not seeing throughout the rest of the liturgical year, which is not to say that the rest of the year is unimportant, but Lent is such a gift to us because of that. And we're entering into this weekend. I'm really excited about this weekend's readings because if we look at our gospel reading this Sunday, we are starting with the scrutinies. For those of you who are familiar with that, what does that mean? We're in year A, which is a gift to us because every time we have people coming into the church, then the scrutinies are part of their last part of their journey as they're coming into the church, as they're making ready to be receive their sacraments and to be received into the church at the Easter Vigil. And the scrutinies just start to become these signposts. For those of you who have been out west, I'm thinking of the signpost to Wall Drug. You know, it just starts pointing you in that direction that become, they heighten the anticipation of it. And so the first of the scrutinies, we celebrate these. Well, the people coming into the church are meant to observe them every year, certainly in our liturgical or reading cycle in year A is when we all get to observe them. And our first scrutiny is the woman at the well from John chapter 4. And I got to tell you that every time that I take time to maybe not just read, but to study, or if I listen to a talk on the woman at the well, there's something new. There's something that I didn't see there before. This is so, well, I guess I could run in a pun here, but it's so deep. The well is so deep in John chapter 4 from which to draw, and there is much living water that is given. But I love looking at the readings that have been paired with it. So Exodus chapter 17, so this is where the Israelites are grumbling against Moses and really against the Lord because they're thirsty, right? They don't have the water that they need, that they desire, and they see it as Moses' fault or actually God's fault. And so God has Moses go over and strike the rock so that water will flow from it from the people to drink. So they're thirsty and they're blaming God for not seeing to it. And I think a lot of times this is true of what can happen in our own lives, accepting that as our gospel reveals to us, sometimes it means that we're not thirsting in the right way, or we're not thirsting for the right things. Now, of course, we are body and soul, and we need actual water, H2O. We need that. That's necessary for our earthly life. But is it even as necessary as the living water that Jesus has promised in John chapter 4, when he says to the woman, give me a drink, and she goes on to say, well, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, how is this happening? And he says, look, if you'd recognized who I am, not just a Jew, in other words, but if you recognized who I am, I would give you living water, living water. And she still doesn't quite get it. And you're familiar with the rest of the story. I'm not going to unpack it all right now. But so Jesus gives that living water, that he has that living water to pour out into us. And we need to develop the thirst for that living water as well. And so maybe a Lenten challenge for you now is to every time that you find yourself thirsty, which actually I'm kind of thirsty right now as I'm thinking about it. I've been drinking a lot of coffee and I need some water now to kind of combat that. So every time that you physically thirst, take that to prayer and ask the Lord to give you a thirst for the living water that surpasses your thirst for physical water. I mean, it's much the same concept, right, as fasting, fasting from food. Every time that we're hungry, we're meant to take that to prayer and to say, Lord, make me hungry for you. Let me hunger and thirst after righteousness, as Jesus preaches in the Sermon on the Mount, part of the Beatitudes, right? So be cognizant of that and pray that God would give you that thirst for living water. And what happens when God does give you the living water? Well, Holy Mother Church has given us a snippet from Paul's letter to the Romans. And here's what he says in Romans chapter 5. He says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, granted, it's a slight reference. It's a slight nod to the water theme, right? But the love of God is what pours into our hearts. This living water, the presence of God is poured into our hearts. And what happens then? Well, hope does not disappoint us then. Everything that we hope, everything that we think through, everything that's going on in our lives, we have a hope that exceeds all of those. And in so having that hope, it brings to us the presence of the living God and the understanding that whatever it is that we're facing, God is there and God will lead us through it. So great readings that are coming our way from Holy Mother Church this weekend, the third weekend in Lent. And I hope and I pray it's going well for you. Here's what's coming here. I'll tell you what's coming first. First off, we're going to have a phone conversation with Andre Renier, who is a national and international Catholic speaker, and he's going to be speaking at St. Odilia in Shoreview a little bit later on this month. And then Ben Telugan and Neil Maxwell are here to tell us a little bit about their podcast for men called Prayer and Push-Ups. So I think a lot of things that we can explore and converse about with them. And then Deacon Paul Hedman, who, God willing, will be the youngest newly ordained priest in our archdiocese come this May. That's what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour. Let's, as always, here at the top of the show, pause and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest, Andre Renier, founded the Catholic Christian Outreach in Saskatoon, Canada in 1988, along with his wife, and they were awarded the Pro Ecclesia et Pontifice Medal for Distinguished Service to the Church, which is the highest medal that can be awarded to laity by the Pope. Andre has written three books, and his desire is to draw people to a deeper conversion of the person of Jesus Christ and to be a catalyst for them to embrace the Church's evangelical mission. Andre Renier, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
It's great to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. Now, tell us a little bit about the mission of Catholic Christian Outreach.
Well, I mean, as Americans would be aware, FOCUS, so it's similar to FOCUS, but we were founded in 1988, and the main purpose of CCO, Asha and I feel, and we were called to start this movement on the university campus, was to seek out those Catholics who had wandered away when they came to university so easily. We wanted to be a movement that really went after the periphery. At the time, we didn't use that language, but those Catholics who had wandered away. And so, we felt like as we were starting the movement to do that, because back in 1988, evangelization wasn't a popular thing, and you know, there was a lot of confusion about what that really meant.
Sure.
And so we wanted to be a movement that really did evangelization, but it was difficult to really embrace it because it was so foreign to so many Catholics all around us. But because of that, we felt we had to develop material and resources that would communicate that goal. So ever understood what we were actually trying to do. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about who we were. I mean, we could talk a lot about the nuts and bolts of it, but our whole movement was wanting to be evangelical in our behaviors and our actions and our methodology.
Right.
To reach those Catholics and bring them back to Jesus and back to the Church.
What about the inspiration for Catholic Christian Outreach early on? For instance, have you always been a devoted Catholic?
No. I was like everyone else. back in the 60s and 70s is actually I grew up as a Catholic. I always had a real sense of closeness to God, to Jesus. I had a love for the church, but I had no idea how to live that out. So I lived my Catholic life the same way as everyone around me, is that I didn't really practice. I went to Mass, and that was it. But, you know, the way I lived my life didn't reflect kind of what was happening inside. So when I graduated out of high school, I basically stopped going. Not out of I'm leaving because of conviction that I didn't want to be part of this. It's just, you know, I just kind of wandered away. And so for about 2 years of my life, I didn't go to Mass. But it was in 1982 that I was decided, you know, my life was going well. I was happy. I was well-adjusted. But I just felt like I actually wanted to go back. There was a hunger in me to go back to Mass, to go back to church. And the one Sunday, I decided, not because Mom was telling me to go, but because I wanted to go, I stepped into, I went to Mass, and I sat down, and I started, you know, doing what I do, you know, try to listen and be part of the liturgy and, you know, enter in. But something happened in the middle of Mass. It was almost like the very presence of God kind of filled every one of my cells. It was like I was regenerated. I mean, I just, the presence, I didn't have these terms back then, but the very love of God kind of just entered into my whole being to the point where I actually began to shake.
Wow.
I went in that Mass that day. I would say kind of a periphery Catholic. I left, my heart and my mind and my whole being was converted. I mean, I was just captured fully by the whole idea of God being present and central to my life. And my whole life changed in behavior and in practice and in vision and purpose. I know it's a little bit of a dramatic story, but it was quite a dramatic turnaround for me.
Yeah, it sounds reminiscent of St. Paul's experience on the Damascus Road. I mean, to some degree.
I never thought of that, but yes.
So what? What was it that about? What did you do in order to facilitate this? Just show up, basically.
Basically, as I look back at my testimony, my conversion, and it's actually the way we live our movement, that my going to Mass that day, what was at the heart of it was my desire, my decision, my choice to kind of embrace this. I didn't, you know, I wasn't fully kind of developed, but it was really, I was really part of that that encounter by me saying, okay, this is what I want in my life. I didn't know what that was, but I want to kind of embrace it. And so I had to get up that morning and go. And so as we do like kind of CCO philosophies, at the heart of it is, you know, that we're not inviting you to just be spectators, but you actually have to choose to place Jesus at the center of your life, to live no longer for yourself, but for Christ who died for you. So what we want, our methodology is inviting, you know, we proclaim the message of the gospel, Jesus and the church very clearly and simply, but what we really want is to invite the participants, those on the periphery, to choose it.
Yeah.
And so we create conditions that they can actually make this intentional choice in their lives. And we believe that if we make that choice, if we choose, if we say, okay, Jesus, this is what I want in my life, you know, you're calling me to this relationship, this is what I want, that God is going, like we learn in Revelations, you know, he stands at the door knocking. Whoever opens the door up a little bit, I will come in
right
and dine with them. And so
yeah I have visions of the prodigal son, you know, choosing out of his own hunger to return home, but the father running out to meet him and going far beyond his expectations as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Now, was it just because of the stage in your life that this happened with you and to you that you decided or you were led to start a campus-based ministry?
Well, actually, there was a 5-year gap between my conversion and the starting of the movement.
Sure.
But I went to university, and there I felt, and I believe it was, again, providence that played a part here, is I felt like I was the only Catholic in the world that had had this experience. Back in the 80s, the church is a lot different than it is today. And so, in a way, I'm sure there was really some really on fire, kind of committed Catholics out there, but they were hiding from me because I felt like I was the only one. Even within my own family, my mom was very religious, really practicing. She was just a role model. But after my conversion, my conversations with her, like, she was struggling in many ways with her faith. You know, where is God? And so she, for her, her faith was kind of not what I thought it was. And she self-identified that in a way that her faith was kind of, I could go into my mother. I won't talk about her testimony that much. But so I was the only Catholic that I felt this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a varsity wrestler. So I did very well. I was hoping to go to the Olympics. And so I was training towards that. We did a lot of traveling with my team. And there was two evangelical Catholics that were on that team that we became really good friends. I was friends with everyone. But I remember them talking about faith, and their experience seemed to match my experience. And they're giving terms to what I was experiencing. And I remember I never ended up going in any way to their Sunday church, but I did go to a couple of their Friday night college and career groups. And I was it was a very transformative time for me because it was like the Lord gave me a vision for the future. Because what I saw there was amongst the evangelicals was this love for Jesus that was kind of uncompromising from what I was seeing. And it was what I was experiencing. And so it resonated with me. But also I saw in them an evangelical zeal, meaning they didn't want to keep Jesus for themselves, but they wanted the world to know him. Many of them were doing radical mission either on campus or in different countries. And that really spoke to me. I mean, this is brand new to me. I knew that there's priests and missionary priests and, those kinds of things happening in the church. But for these young lay people to be so missionary-oriented really, really resonated with me.
Right.
But what had the biggest impact on me was it seemed like every second Protestant was an ex-Catholic. And it was like, I wanted to drop to my knees and say, don't leave. We need you. But I thought, where would I take them that would match their experience? I couldn't think of a parish that would kind of be a life-giving community for them. And so I remember saying, back in 1986, Lord, what do I have to do? What can I do? And in 1987, that's when things, the Lord began to kind of taking up on my promise or my, offering myself.
He does that, right?
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's been a wonderful and sometimes terrifying roller coaster ride ever since.
Yeah. It's been, I would lean towards the wonderful, because when you're working, when you're really, like St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, all that matters is that Jesus be proclaimed. That's what brings me joy. Well, the last 30 years, I would say it's been wonderful and joyful and life-giving, but there was a lot of crosses, a lot of challenge, a lot of opposition. And we have that in our organizational memory, meaning how difficult it was and the opposition. But that pales in comparison to seeing one person life really change and be transformed. They were they were the prodigal son who came to their senses, and they came back and seeing that, you know, they're once blind, but now they see, they were dead, but now they're alive, they're lost, but now found. You know, to me, that is what brings life to the Christian life, you know, to really enter into what matters most to God, to Jesus, and that is the lost. And
fantastic.
To see them return. So, yeah, it was difficult, challenging, but I'll tell you,
yeah,
we have the best job. Yeah. We have the best mission.
Amen to that. So Andre Vignier is going to be speaking at St. Odilia as part of their Paris Lenten mission, which is coming up. And the mission is titled Conversations for Discipleship from Encounter to Sharing Your Faith, March 23rd and 24th. Andre, can you give us a brief sneak peek at what you're going to be speaking about in that parish mission?
Well, there's so much that can be said. That's why you should come, because I can't tell you it all now. But
right.
Pope Benedict talked a lot about holiness and mission being two sides of the same coin. That, you know, now there's a lot of talk about being a missionary disciple. So I'm going to talk about what it means to be a disciple, you know, really a follower of Jesus, one that a person, like how, does Jesus want us to be in a relationship with him that is life-giving and dynamic and relevant and transformative? But I'm going to talk about being a disciple, coming to, you know, really give ourselves over to Jesus in our lives, is really a beautiful, a life-giving experience that our hearts long for. I'm going to talk a lot about that encounter that we have, conversion. You know, like, how do we experience conversion, but those people that we love, how do we bring them to a place of conversion? Mm-hmm. But the other side of the coin, which is mission, being a missionary, so not only a disciple or a follower of Christ, but really the dynamic of the Christian life is both, meaning when, because of our baptism, we're not only called to follow Christ, but we're called to make him known. And so I'm going to talk about that. And so how the nuts and bolts of that, not just the theory, let's go out, but how do you actually make him known?
Great.
Like, what happens in a conversation, in a coffee shop, or around your kitchen table? How do you present Jesus in a compelling way that the listener can hear it, understand it, and then respond to it? So that's kind of where I'll be going in those 2 days. I know that's kind of a pretty general terms, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating, and we do, again, the parish mission is Conversations for Discipleship from Encounter to Sharing Your Faith with Andre Vignier. Andre, I'm afraid we've reached the end of our time together now, but we look forward to seeing you at St. Odilia a little bit later on this month. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to visiting you for those couple days.
All right. Take care. God bless. And again, that event is Conversations for Discipleship from Encounter to Sharing Your Faith at St. Odilia, March 23rd and 24th. Paul and I will hit it again at the end of the show. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got Ben Telugan and Neil Maxwell and their podcast for men, Prayer and Push-Ups. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Step forward. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United.
I realized working at Catholic United was the right career for me. About a year into it, I went to a wake for someone who had been a member of our parish volunteer team and very active. You know, I was nervous to go, and got there, introduced myself to his kids and family, and knew I was going to be helping them with the death claim. And his spouse was there, and she was so happy to see me. She was so thankful that I took time out of the day to come and do this. That was the big moment for me.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/careers and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us.
Sound like the sun. For everyone. For everyone. For everyone.
We're back at the Rediscover Hour. Joining me now in studio, Ben Telugin, who is Youth and Young Adult Ministry at St. Michael in Prior Lake and founder and co-host of what we're going to be talking about, the Prayer and Push-Ups podcast. Ben and his wife, Katie, of almost 5 years, have a 2-year-old son and a 7-month-old daughter. He enjoys walks and time with family, weightlifting, running, team sports, swing dancing, mixed martial arts, movies, and reading. And joining him also is Neil Maxwell, who's coordinator of Faith Formation 6th through 10th grade Confirmation Youth Ministry, catechist of the Good Shepherd, and middle school religion teacher. When does he have any time during the day? At Guardian Angels in Chaska School and Parish. And he's married to his beautiful and amazing wife, Emily. They have 3 children, Andrew, Gemma, and Peter Blaze. And he is currently earning a master's in theology at the Augustine Institute. Oh, man, it just goes on and on. And finally, he enjoys weightlifting as well. That's why I wanted to hit that, because we're talking about Prayer and Push-Ups, the podcast. First of all, welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Yep.
It's good to have you with us. All right, so podcast for men, prayer and push-ups. I like where you're going with this, but take me all the way back to the beginning. Where did the idea first come from for this podcast, Ben?
Okay, so the idea first came from a ministry that I wanted to start working with young men, and I was trying to figure out how am I going to get word about this ministry out, and started looking at different options, and then decided that the best route would be to start a podcast, and then was working on that, and Neil came on board, and we spent about a year putting it together, and just the premise is that we are as a human person, we are a body-soul composite, mm-hmm. and we need to care for both. And so that, hence the prayer
and
push-ups.
Okay, that mm-hmm. makes sense. And now, Neil, when you first heard this idea from Ben, were you on board, or is this, I know Ben to be an idea man.
Yeah.
And so he has a lot of ideas. So were you on board from the beginning, or did he have to talk you into it?
No. I was all in
okay.
right from the start.
I think he talked me into letting him come on, actually.
Yeah, super excited. I love talking about faith. I love talking about fitness. And so it's just a perfect marriage between both of those things.
Yeah. Because I understand you're an amateur power lifter as well. I had to bring it up.
Yeah.
Ben was telling me before the show. But you said you compete only with...
myself. it's just trying to be the best version of myself, as some people like to say. And I like picking up heavy things and putting them back down. It's a lot of fun.
On our podcast, I've come to call him the giant ginger.
Oh, okay.
So,
he does have the reddish hair and beard going on.
That's kind of his running nickname on the podcast now.
For sure. Okay.
Yeah, very good. All right. So you said you took about a year putting it together, meaning the technical stuff, the content, both. What were you focusing on there?
A little of both, trying to get a feel for each other and how it would work to be on the air. So we did a number of recordings and then listen to them just to get a feel for how we were doing, and figuring out what our content was going to be, which is still kind of a work in progress. In some ways, we're getting feedback from listeners now and trying to kind of hone our skill set at doing this. We're still very new, but enjoying it immensely. And that year was spent figuring out equipment and figuring out how are we going to do this and how are we going to work together, and what do we want to do with this, as far as how are we going to pick our topics and how are we going to cover them, and do we want to bring on guests or not bring on guests, or things along that line.
And definitely like taking it to prayer and saying, like, what does the Lord want to do with this?
Yes.
Like, where is he calling us to do this? And honestly, we're kind of Luddites, so figuring out just the technology.
Just the technology piece.
How does internet work? Yeah. So that's a lot of it.
I can understand that. That's good. That's why I have Paul sitting across the desk from me, because all I have to do is talk.
We need a Paul.
Yeah, you do.
We do.
You do need a Paul.
We need a Paul.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're out there, Paul.
Look us up.
Yep, technical producers wanted. All right. Mm-hmm. So as you're putting this together, is it feeling like it's time to actually, you know what, we're gonna cut our first episode, we're gonna put it out there and see what happens. Well, what was your first episode on? Do you remember?
Our first episode was just on what the podcast is going to be about.
Okay,
and
good.
Talking a little bit about who we are, so that people knew who they were listening to.
Right.
Yeah.
We just got done doing our second episode on motivation and how that works out both in your spiritual and physical life.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Keeping on. I refer to it as spiritual training and physical training, keeping on your prayer life and seeking after God and reading and any other things that you're doing on that front. And then
there's just a lot of crossover, what we can take from our lessons from theology as well as the lessons you learn from exercise and taking care
such
of yourself.
Such as, give me an example.
So, and like intellect, will, and the passions. So if one of the things we were talking about is like your intellect informs the object of the good that you want to pursue. And then your passions, although disordered by sin, you're trying to reintegrate this, your will, your place of choice, to use both your intellect and your passions towards the good that God wants you to pursue. And so by like exercise, you are making a decision and actualizing it through your physical self that then reorders your body in a way it's supposed to work,
right?
Bringing it into a greater functionality. And so too in prayer, like when we read the Psalms or we pray the Our Father, like we try to pray it from the heart and have it be internalized. But sometimes just by saying the words, the form in and of themselves, then conforms our heart to mm-hmm. the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so like back and forth talking about different stuff like that and like the interaction between different aspects and understanding that mind-body connection. And so having your soul reintegrate itself with your body and gain greater control of self.
All right.
Yeah.
I think also kind of just combining the two into one and being able to recognize that you don't have to be doing necessarily one or the other. Some of the best prayer times I've ever had have been on runs. Where you get out onto a trail.
Yeah, me too. God help me. God help me.
But you get out into a trail in, you know, a park or something like that where you're just surrounded by trees. There's not a lot of people around. And you're in nature that God created. It's a great place to just get some quiet time with Him. And Cardinal Sarah wrote a book, The Power of Silence, which I absolutely love. And it just talks about the fact that we've lost that ability to be in silence and hear God. And so getting away from all the craziness of life and just going out, going for a walk, going for a run, getting out into nature and just spending some time listening.
So I love the fact that you're integrating both the philosophical side of things. So you're doing some theological anthropology there, heavily informed by Aquinas, it sounds like, which is always
heavily.
A good thing. Yeah, that's always a good thing. But then you're turning that practically with both body and soul in mind. Who's your target audience for this podcast?
We want to catechize, we want to motivate the catechized and catechize the motivated.
Okay.
So we kind of want to serve as a bridge between both those who are already in the fitness world who maybe need Jesus.
Yep.
Who is everyone.
Yeah.
And then encourage those who are faithful, who maybe need some tips, tricks, encouragement, and to help encourage them and journey with them on their journey to health and fitness, both physically and spiritually.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we aren't necessarily strictly a men's podcast either. Obviously, the two of us are men, and we come at it from a men's perspective.
Indeed. But how else could we?
Some of our most most avid or listeners that have actually voiced things and come and talk to us have been women.
Okay.
So women are getting things out of it too, and great.
All right. So yes, it's a podcast. You're not checking genders at the door or something like that.
No,
only men are allowed and that sort of thing. Great. Mm-mm. Great. And where, of course, we have to find where people can find you. We have to talk about that. So you said you're both Luddites now. How do I find your podcast? I've got my iPad in front of me.
Well, you can write a handwritten letter and put it on.
That's right. Yeah.
So we can be found at anywhere you basically search prayer and pushups.
Okay.
So on Twitter and Instagram, prayer and pushups, our facebook.com/prayerandpushups, and our email is prayerandpushupspodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. So you're widely available on social media, it sounds like there as well.
And we have a website that is currently under construction and it will be available sometime shortly. And
okay.
That's just prayerandpushups.org.
Prayerandpushups.org. Okay, yeah. Excellent, mm-hmm. Excellent. So diving back into the content piece as well, I'm just wondering, do you have practical suggestions for both prayer and exercise then? Do you tie in all the way down to, so here's your, I don't know, your challenge for prayer this week is that, and your challenge for exercise this week is that, or something like that? Does it get that specific?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes, yeah. This Lenten season, we've challenged everyone to start off at like one push-up and one Jesus prayer.
Okay.
Right, during the beginning of the Lenten, and then just add one every day.
Nice.
And so just, you know, the Jesus prayer is like
this will
breathing.
Be the shortest Lent I've ever had.
our prayer and push-ups challenge is literally just doing prayer and push-ups.
Yeah.
So we didn't stray too far from our
really
our title.
It's just push-ups.
Yeah.
It's
push-ups and praying while you do them. It's not complicated.
And we try to give some good information about tips and tricks on exercise and different routines and things you can do. But You kind of have to speak very broadly because everyone's very different,
of
has
course.
different needs, and it's very specific. And so depending on, you have the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do.
Yeah.
So, but we try to have all that stuff. We talk about, you know, if you want to get hypertrophy, if you want to get strong, if you want endurance.
Yeah.
Talk about different things that'll help you get there.
I was going to say, clearly you both have had quite a bit of experience in the physical fitness world and realm and that sort of thing, whether mm-hmm. it be weightlifting or powerlifting or mixed martial arts or whatever it mm-hmm. is. Do either one of you, have either one of you ever done teaching or training in exercise, fitness, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've been a personal trainer. I did
you
that
have?
Back in college.
Okay.
Back in college for about 2 summers, basically 2 years. And then I played rugby for a number of years, been training
nice.
Since high school, and been working out consistently since then. So it's now, what, like 15 years or something like that? Like
20, after a while, you lose
yeah,
track.
Yeah,
I've
lost. I've definitely lost track.
Yeah, and I've done training for friends and done basketball coach mm-hmm. for a number of years. So.
Sure. All right. So you both have experience in that realm,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're both working yeah. actively in parishes as well, parishes and schools, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you see this evolving? Where do you see it getting to? What would you, if you could dream up what Prayer and Push-Ups becomes in terms of audience or fame or that sort of thing? Ben's getting the nod from Neil right now.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben, let her rip.
So there's a lot of dreams involved in this. The ultimate goal would be to potentially even open our own gym that would
right.
be connected to the podcast. There's the other ministry that I was originally wanting to start working with young men, and that was a coming of age program that would bring high school young men in and train them in such a way, and then at the end they are initiated into manhood. And I've done a pilot of this once and it went very, very well, so I'm hoping to be able to build that and turn that into something we can either take into parishes or have a retreat center or both. So there's a lot of dreams that could potentially come from this. It's yeah. really where God decides to take us.
Liminal moments are important, especially yeah. in the lives of the young. You were going to say something, Neil.
Yeah, just with like opening up a gym, one of the like dreams is with medicine, you know, there's a lot of like fixing problems after they occur.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there who could have that preventative maintenance of getting in health and exercise and training, but maybe couldn't afford it. It's not a part of their insurance plan. It's not their thing. And so we'd love to be able to provide access to personal training and build a community that supports one another, that's a faith-based community, to support people in their journey as well and give them access to that like individual care. So they can be healthy before there's a problem or if they need to rehab right. from like, that's a big dream
yeah.
as well.
And I know that there's already some people kind of doing this in our archdiocese here, but something else that I'd like to be able to do is work with priests and seminarians and help them to
yeah.
be healthy, because many of them get that spiritual side down very, very well, but they really struggle with the being physically healthy, and to just help them develop good habits to maintain that so we can keep them around a little longer. And
yeah,
I mean, yeah, they talk about like, you know, the honor of the celibacy belly
yeah.
that they get. But like having a gut is related to heart disease.
Yeah.
And so if we, you know, want to keep our priests available, ready, healthy, so that they can respond. And when they are called to action, when they get that, you know, 1 a.m. phone call to have to run to the hospital to give last rites, that like their body is prepared for them to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, believe it or not, guys, we are out of time. But the podcast is Prayer and Push-Ups. These two guys, Ben and Neil, have been great. If you can imagine just with this interview what their podcast is like, I think it's worth checking out. So widely available on social media. Just type in Prayer and Push-Ups. Yeah, thanks for joining us on the Rediscoverer. God bless you, and I hope I'll be looking for the Prayer and Push-Ups gym someday.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, when we come back, we've got Deacon Paul Hedmans who's with us to talk about getting ready for ordination. Yeah, stay with us. Rediscover.
Talking about loving our enemies today.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
This is from one of our listeners. She says, sorry to say, I literally hated two of my sisters for something they did to my dear mother. I would confess this hatred, but kept struggling and going over the incident time and time again. The turning point was reading the wise words of a 95-year-old priest, and this is what he wrote. Pray for the person you resent day and night. Call down God's blessings on them. Lord, give them good health, joy, peace, love, and happiness. Refuse to speak of their faults. Become their cheerleader. Peace will come. I taped his words to the back of my bedroom door so that I pray for them first thing and last thing every day. She says, I won't forget what they have done, but that horrible, sinful hatred is long gone.
Wow.
We just could repeat that about 10 times here. Such great advice for all of us.
Hope and help for your faith journey. The Inner Life, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Berthung, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio is Deacon Paul Hedman, who is a deacon in seminary and for theology at the St. Paul Seminary, and God willing, ordination this coming May 30th. He enjoys biking and running, playing cards, and we got to talk about this, computer coding.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a couple things to talk about there. And he is, again, God willing, he will be the youngest of his class, but the youngest of his class and the class yet to come, as I understand it, ordained to the priesthood this coming May. Well, first of all, welcome, Deacon. It's good
to
have you with us.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get into the computer coding thing, why don't you start us off with a little bit of your own background? Specifically, how did you first sense the call? How did you come to recognize that the Lord is calling you to the priesthood?
Sure, yeah. When I was really, really young, like 2 years old, 3 years old, I always wanted to be a priest. My dad has pictures of me pretending to say Mass when I was 2 years old, 3 years old.
Really?
Dressed in vestments that my mom sewed for me. Oh. I would use saltine crackers and grape juice, and I would play Mass. So when I was really little, that was just always on my mind. My parents homeschooled me growing up, so I knew a lot about the faith, and through the youth ministry program at my parish, St. Raphael's in Crystal, just really came to know and love God all the more, and that just really helped foster my vocation.
Nice.
Though, go on.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Around, you know, late middle school, early high school, I came to a realization, though, that girls are pretty. So I decided that maybe the priesthood wasn't for me, and I kind of pushed that to the back of my mind for all of high school and even into that first year of college. It just wasn't on my mind at all. So my first year of college, I, as you mentioned, you know, I'm into computer coding, so I was studying computer science at Loras College in Dubuque, Iowa.
Okay.
And at the end of my first semester, my fall semester down in Iowa, there was just a lot going on in my life with relationships and friendships, and I just really wasn't sure what was going on. So when I came back for Christmas break up back here in Minnesota, I was serving Mass at my home parish, and when my pastor, Father Eisen, elevated the host after the consecration, I just got this huge booming feeling in my heart. Mm. Like, I want to do that. Just out of nowhere. I didn't know where it came from, and I was like, whoa, that was weird. Okay. And from there, I started thinking about the priesthood again. So I went back down to Loras College for my spring semester, and I joined a priestly discernment group down there. We would meet once a month and talk about this book, To Save 1,000 Souls. It's a great resource for men who are discerning the priesthood. And so back down in college, was thinking about, you know, okay, so do I transfer up to St. John Vianney College Seminary up here in St. Paul? Do I attend seminary in Iowa, become a priest for the Archdiocese of Dubuque? Do I wait until I finish college, then enter seminary? Or maybe was what I heard in December just a figment of my imagination and I should ask this girl out? A lot of stuff going through my...
Because girls are still pretty at this
exactly,
point. Right,
exactly.
Yes, understood. Okay.
So there's a lot going through my mind then too. And so I was at a daily Mass at a parish just down the road from the college one morning. And after Mass, this lady came up to me and she said, when I shook your hand at the sign of peace, God told me to tell you that he's directing your discernment and he's going to lead you wherever he wants you to go. And I was like, well.
Well, there you go.
Oh, well, there you have it.
It's not often that obvious, but that's pretty amazing. Okay.
Yep.
Since then, where did it go?
You know, I just sort of, as I describe it, I sat shotgun. I let God do the driving. You know, God's in control. And I ended up at St. John Vianney College Seminary, finished up college there my last 3 years, and then entered the St. Paul Seminary in 2016. And 3.5 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
I was ordained a deacon on May 11th. And God willing, Archbishop willing, I'll be ordained a priest on May 30th. And I'm just really, really looking forward to serving the Lord in this way.
Fantastic. All right. And okay, so you, as I made mention, you are the youngest member of your class, correct? Mm-hmm. And you said that actually, everyone in the following class is also older than you are, is that right?
That is correct,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And there's some sort of trophy that goes with being the youngest priest ordained, isn't there?
That's right, yep. So there's a crystal pacifier that gets passed on, mounted on a trunk of wood that gets passed on from youngest priest to youngest priest.
I love it.
It's been going on for about a decade now. And so a couple days before ordination, there's a dinner where we're sort of welcomed to the presbyterate with all the priests of the diocese gathered. And then at that dinner, in front of everyone, the handing on of the trophy takes place. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, as you mentioned, I'm also younger than everyone in the class below me. So next year, I'm just going to be holding firmly onto that trophy and not giving it to anyone else.
I think that's totally fair. Mm-hmm. I get that very well. So talk a little bit about your experience in the diaconate. I mean, what has been your experience now being a deacon for the last, whatever it is, six, seven, eight, no, yeah, nine months.
9 months.
Nine months now. Holy cow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fantastic. You know, it's really been throughout seminary, you're taking these classes, you're going through formation with this eye on eventual ministry and serving the Lord.
Right.
And during seminary, you have these opportunities for doing ministry. You know, once a week, you could go to Mary's Place, or I taught religion at St. Agnes School once a week when I was in college seminary. Or in major seminary, you have your teaching parish. You go out once a week and then one weekend a month, and you participate in RCIA or faith formation or various other things at the parish. But once you're ordained a deacon, you can just all the more enter into that ministry, which is really the goal of seminary, is helping you to grow deeper in relationship with Christ so that you can serve his people. So really being able to be a deacon and serve his people all the more in that way and just be all the closer to priesthood has just been fantastic.
Good.
So this summer, I was assigned to St. John the Baptist in Savage as my diaconal ministry. So I was there full-time, living at the parish, following the priests around, preaching, doing just all sorts of stuff in the parish, whatever a deacon can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a wonderful, fantastic summer. Father, now Bishop Donald DeGroote, is my sort of supervisor, the pastor there this summer. So it's been wonderful to journey with him, to be formed by him. He was a great mentor. And then it was just so beautiful to see him ordained the Bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. Of course, we all wish you well in that. But I did want to hit on this computer coding thing, because what you've taken, your passion for the Lord and for your Catholic faith, and you've integrated it into some of your computer coding. Let's start with the Diocese Bishop Finder. Tell us about that.
That's
what is
right.
That?
Yeah. So one of my websites that I have is diocese.in. If you go to it, it'll find your location anywhere in the United States and then tell you what diocese you're in. I was kind of inspired to make it because as you know, during the Eucharistic prayer, the priest prays for the local bishop. And sometimes when you're traveling, the priest is like, and for the local bishop of this place.
I've heard that.
Because he doesn't quite remember where we are or what the
where
name of the bishop
now?
Is.
Right.
So I made this little tool so that you can just go to it real quick on your phone, and then it'll tell you who the bishop is, what diocese you're in. And I hope that it's useful for people.
Yeah.
I'll use it once in a while when I'm on a road trip. I'll be like, gee, I wonder, have I crossed in the Diocese of New Ulm yet?
Right.
And you can just take a quick look at that.
I love it. Diocese.in, I-N. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. But then there's, this is so intriguing to me. This is going to become my new favorite website, I think, because I already use a website that has a searchable catechism, but you have a searchable, well, you tell us.
Well, this other website is canonlaw.ninja. It's kind of a weird ending. Usually you'd hear like .com, .org, but .ninja, canonlaw.ninja. And on it, you can search the Code of Canon Law, the Catechism, the General Instruction for the Roman Missal, the General Instruction for the Liturgy of the Hours, and a bunch of other documents. So if you ever want to find out what the Church's law is on the liturgy or just in general, I have a lot of documents on there that that people can search really easily. So
wonderful. I just think that's so cool. I'm outing myself.
Nerding out
a liturgy nerd here. I am, yes. Right. So I love that. I love that concept. By the way, can you search in Latin?
You can too.
You're
kidding. You can have Latin
me.
And
Come
English
on.
Side by side
Come
as well.
On.
Yep.
That,
yep. Only for some of the documents. I don't have all of them in Latin yet, but
still
for some of them. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Okay. So as you look forward, as you look ahead, and again, God and Archbishop willing are ordained to the priesthood. Are there things that you're? I mean, obviously the Eucharist, the Mass, hearing confessions. Those are such fundamental parts of being a priest. What is it about that is really whetting your appetite right now about deepening your own walk with the Lord, as well as the way that you can give yourself in service and ministry to others?
Yeah, just being able to give your entire self to the Lord and do what his plan in life for you is just so beautiful. And you know that he knows us better than we know ourselves. So when we're following his will, we're going to be the happiest and the most joyful that we can be. I think I get a commission if I say this. At the St. Paul Seminary, we're joyful Catholic leaders.
Yes.
And so that's what the seminary is preparing us to be. And I really can't wait to be that. You brought up, you know, confessions and saying the Mass. You know, right now I'm in the middle of the class where I'm learning how to hear confessions, how to say Mass.
Right.
And just practicing that has just really got me really excited for doing it. And I just can't wait.
Now, I was going to mention you do have a radio voice as well, so maybe you could do some radio ministry as well.
You know, if Cammy gives me a call again, you know, if you'd like, I'll come. That's actually one of the compliments that I get a lot when I preach at my teaching parish on Sundays. Is, you know, you'll get the good homily, Deacon. That was great, but more often than not, it's you have such a great voice.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, thanks.
Yeah. Thanks.
You know, it's what I came with. So.
Right. Exactly. It came with the package, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, very good. And speaking of Cammy, you know our producer, Cammy Berthium.
I believe.
In fact, you were involved in a pretty important day in her life here fairly recently.
I was. Yeah. I preached the homily at her wedding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really? Do you remember what you talked about?
You know, I talked about self-sacrificial love and how important that is.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband, Ryan, is a big fan of Napoleon Dynamite, so I snuck a little Napoleon Dynamite reference in there, too. But it was really quite an honor to be asked to preach at their wedding, and it was a really, really great experience.
Nice.
So.
Vote for Pedro. Okay. I know that people are always wanting, I mean, obviously people pray for our seminarians here in the Archdiocese. I've heard that time and time again. It's a wonderful thing. I know that they pray for our priests, they pray for our clergy and everything, but there's also, there's this thing called social media.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to stay up to date with what's going on. And I hear that you have followings on social media. Am I right about that?
You know, I've recently gotten into Twitter a little bit, and
okay.
So I've have a few people following me on there. We actually, me and a couple other of my clergy friends, just started up a project called Ferial Fervorinos, which is a fancy way to say daily homilies,
yeah.
Basically. So if you go to @Fervorinos on Twitter, you can get a small, less than a minute daily homily each day. If you can't make it to daily Mass, you can hear this brief little homily, and we're hoping that, you know, the church says that we got to be able to meet people where we're at, and people are at social media these days.
Yeah, they are.
So you scroll through your feed, you see a short little daily reflection on the readings, you might listen to it.
Yeah.
And hopefully that can bring people closer to God, help them fall more in love with Him and fall in love with the Scriptures.
Amen to that. I just wrote it down, @Fervorinos on Twitter.
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna follow that right when we're done here. But as we are winding up, it would be great, Deacon Paul, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. Of course, we'll be praying for you as you continue this path again, God willing, towards ordination, and we'll look forward to that day on May the 30th, seeing you ordained a priest. But before you leave us today, can I ask you to give your blessing to us and to all of our listeners?
For sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Deacon Paul, go in peace.
Thanks be to God. No, stay. Don't turn the radio dial yet. Okay. Well, Deacon Paul Hedman, again, thank you so much, and God bless you in your continued ministry.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, Paul and I, as always, have a whole list of events coming up, Lenten events, to helping you deepen your faith. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Or know someone who wants to make a change? Step forward. Make the transition. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. We are on a mission to grow the financial security of Catholics in your community.
I was actually an elementary school teacher for 4 years. I taught in Catholic schools, and I was a softball and volleyball coach. One of the great benefits to working at Catholic United is the ability to create your own schedule. When you're a young mom and a young parent, this has been a blessing because I can take the time off when I need to watch my daughter and make my own schedule and work with my husband to take care of our child, and it's been really great.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at catholicunitedfinancial.org/sales career and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us. Oh, my soul.
So, Paul, you heard that Ben and Neil are looking for a technical producer. don't leave us, though, okay?
My plate is full.
We need you. We need you, Paul. Thank you for all the work you do.
Oh, you're welcome.
What do we got going on?
Well, the Church of St. Odilia in Shoreview invites you to a back-to-back parish Lenten mission March 23rd and 24th with nationally renowned speaker André Renier, Conversations for Discipleship from Encounter to Sharing Your Faith. Doors open 6:30 p.m. with music. André speaks 7 to 8:30 p.m. Click the events tab at saintodelia.org for all the information. Don't miss out on this opportunity to encounter the Lord more deeply and learn how to effectively share your faith with others.
St. John the Baptist in Excelsior invites you to the Father Mark Dosh Speaker Series on March 17th, featuring acclaimed Catholic theologian, speaker, and author George Weigel. The evening begins at 6 p.m. with a St. Patrick's Day-themed welcome reception, followed by a presentation by George Weigel, adoration, confessions, fellowship, and Q&A. No registration is necessary. A free will offering will be taken. For more information, go to archspm.org/events.
This Lent, plan on dropping by the cathedral for adoration and confession during this year's 24 Hours for the Lord. Confessions will be offered around the clock in several languages from noon Friday, March 20th, to noon Saturday, March 21st. There will also be perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament.
Attention middle school students! Join youth from around the Midwest on Saturday, March 21st at Providence Academy in Plymouth for Rise Up Twin Cities. The event will include keynote talks by Jimmy Mitchell and Katie Hartfield, adoration, reconciliation, Mass with Archbishop Hebda, praise and worship led by Sonar, and more. Cost is $60. Register online at partnershipforyouth.org.
Men, the 2020 Archdiocesan Men's Conference is coming up on March 28th, 2020. Theme for this year's largest gathering of Catholic men in the state is Embrace the Challenge. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Paul Scalia, son of the late Justice Antonin Scalia. Go to the events page at archspm.org for more information and to register.
And now a relevant radio announcement. April 24th, folks, save that date. Join our bishops and fellow Relevant Radio listeners in honoring the Little Sisters of the Poor and supporting both Relevant Radio and local Catholic schools at the 2020 Christ Brings Hope Benefit Banquet. Again, it's Friday, April 24th, 2020. It's going to be at the JW Marriott Mall of America. Enjoy meet-and-greet times with your favorite Relevant Radio personalities, including Father Rocky, Father Rich Simon, Patrick Madrid, and Glenn Leverins. Oh, yeah, Paul and I are going to be there as well.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll show up.
Okay, good. And Cammie Berthume, hopefully, is going to be there as well. All right, so our producer is going to be there as well. Get your tickets today by going to relevantradio.com, clicking the events tab, and then choosing Minnesota. Really do hope to see you there. It's a great evening. It's a faith-filled, fun-filled evening and a great way to support local Catholic schools as well as Relevant Radio.
And sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization. Enter your email address.
All right. Coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, we've got Father Stephen Hoffman, pastor at St. Peter's in Mendota Heights. And he's going to tell us about their archdiocesan-wide event for young adults. And then Father Anthony Salim is going to discuss his upcoming retreat, which is entitled The Paschal Mystery, Foundation of Our Salvation. Also, Allison Spies is back on the Rediscover Hour to give us another look into the Archdiocesan Archives. Have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day, folks, and a good St. Joseph's Day as well. I look forward to hearing you next time on the Rediscover Hour. Until then, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.